for letting us be here today, and we're happy you've chosen to join us. I'm Pastor Evangelist Fisher, Straight Gate Ministries and St. Timothy Church. Amen. It is a blessing to be here today, and we're glad you've chosen to join us this morning. We're going to go right ahead and offer a word of prayer and get right into the word. Amen. So we're happy you're here. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we lift you up this morning, Father. We give you praise. We magnify your holy name, Lord God, because you are excellent and worthy of all praise. And Father, we just thank you right now, Lord, for everything that you have done. We thank you that so many out there have been giving good praise reports about how you've been in their lives and blessed them with so many things. And so, Lord, we want to just thank you right now for all your blessings. Father, we just give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. Father, we just want to bless you today because you're just so awesome, Lord God. We don't even know what we would do without you, Lord God. And we just give you praise, and we want to ask you to forgive us today, Lord, of all sins and transgressions. And Father, we thank you that you have provided for us your Son in order that he might cover us from all iniquity and all unrighteousness. Father, we thank you for Jesus today. We give you praise today, Father. We give you honor and glory. And Father, we come asking you to just continue to keep us and bless us. Give us more knowledge, more understanding. Help us to walk in a way that's well-pleasing in your sight. Give us a greater understanding of your word, Father, so that we can walk by faith and not by sight. Father, we pray for your church everywhere. We ask a special prayer and blessing for Israel today, Lord God. And we pray for her peace, that you would give her understanding about your Son, Jesus, the Messiah, so that they might truly be saved, Lord God. Father, we pray for your church everywhere all over the world, that you would bless her with understanding and purpose, Lord God, to continue this gospel mission that you have commissioned us to do even to the end of the world. And so, Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We ask you to bless your word today as it goes forth. And we give all the honor, praise, and glory to you and to your Son, Jesus. In the Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Go ahead and thank God and give him your best praise. We do have so many things. I want to say a happy birthday to Aunt Jenny. Got to mention that right now at the front of our program. That's my auntie who is 98 years old. Today, we thank God for her. I want to thank God for all of our mothers and everybody else who's experiencing a birthday today. Aunt Jenny is an impeccable person, so we just want to mention her in the broadcast. She has been just a blessing to so many throughout her days. And so 98 years, we thank God for her, and we bless his name. I want to go right ahead and take you into a subject matter today for our lesson today. I want to talk with you on the subject of the sacrifices of thanksgiving and praise. Amen. The sacrifices of thanksgiving and praise. Praise and thanksgiving. These are things that wrong this time of year, and you all notice this odd year of 2020 has been very strange, but this is not a new thing, the 2020. The world pretty well likes to skip Thanksgiving and move right on into Black Friday, so we tend to do that. But the fact is, we ought to be more thankful. The Bible says, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. Amen. The Apostle Paul writes that to the church at Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in all things give thanks. Now, you know what the King James says, in everything give thanks. Now, that's hard. That's a hard pill to swallow for most of us, because not everything is a good thing. So many things that we do are not good things. I mean, they come on to our lives, things that affect our day-to-day lives are things that we would rather not deal with in many cases. So being thankful in everything, that's really a tall order. Nevertheless, it is the word of God, and you and I need to give some observation to it. No matter what the world does, no matter what people think, all of that, no matter what we think, that's the part, the hardest one right there, is no matter what I think, I need to learn to give God praise. And so the sacrifice of thanksgiving, that means, and I call it a sacrifice because we're going to have to make some changes in the way we think if we're going to really give God thanks for everything and in all things. And there's a lot of stuff in life we would automatically put in the category of, well, we can't be thankful about this, can't be thankful about that. So many things we want to put in some other category, And the key to this is getting our spirit to the point where we can understand and trust God that no matter what we're going through, we can say thanks and give God thanks. You know, and the reason why, I'm going to give you a couple of reasons today that you can latch on to that will really help you navigate this situation of the sacrifices of thanksgiving and praise. And I say it's a sacrifice because God is aware that those who are His children are focused in on what He says, and they give priority to the things that His Word teaches. And therefore, even though it may be painful, it may not be normal, let's call it abnormal compared to the world, it may not be expedient for us to be thankful to God, but the fact is, we make the sacrifice because the Scripture says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. Now, I'm going to tell you, this is not easy. You hear a lot of easy messages about how to do stuff easy. But some of the stuff God tells us to do is sacrificial. And even if we could talk about, I'm not going to go too far into it today, but about giving and things of that sort, it's sacrificial. Many times we look at the load and the demands of our life every day, and it's going to be a sacrifice that we have to do to honor the Lord, even in the area of giving. And that's not really my subject today, but I'm thankful that I'm able to give, and that God has blessed me to be able to give. And even if it hurts sometimes, I know I got to do it because it's right, and I want to do it. God has cultured my heart to do so. And it's a similar thing to that with thanksgiving. You got to be aware that God says that we need to come to an attitude or a place in our spirit that we give thanks in everything. And that's not an easy thing to do. So we know it's a very difficult task. That's why we want to use that word sacrifices. It is a sacrifice to thank God. Also, just to give a general overall topic, it's also a sacrifice many times to praise God. Because if God allows a thing into your life, it's there for a reason. And so therefore He is worthy to be praised, even though it doesn't seem like this is something for which I should praise Him. Perhaps we might look at the circumstances of what we're dealing with, and it may not be anything enjoyable. But the fact is, we want to still give the sacrifice of thanksgiving and the sacrifice of praise. So we're going to talk about that. I want you to see what the psalmist said here in the Old Covenant in the book of Psalms 116. And this one, you can see some of the characteristics of what we're talking about here today. So as we begin, let me give some connecting background for our message today that I pray will bless us as we prepare for the upcoming season that we are seemingly fast approaching. This looked like it just went zip all the way, bam. Now we're here at time of Thanksgiving. And we know the world skips Thanksgiving to some degree. They think it's a food holiday. We're just going to eat and pork up and all of that and enjoy all kinds of stuff and gain pounds and all that. That's how the world goes on Thanksgiving and go shopping immediately. We have shopping on our mind to immediately jump from that eating festival into shopping. And so that's kind of what we do. Push Halloween out of the way. This year kind of went by all these things that the world says are holidays. But in either case, the psalmist says this, we don't want to rush through the season here, and you'll see some things in this Psalm 116 that will bless your spirit. He says here, I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplication, because He hath inclined His ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The psalmist says, Psalms 116 and 6. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and He helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. Now let's just stop there at that first few verses in Psalms 116. He said a lot of things there that don't sound too pleasant. He said he loves the Lord because He hears me. That's the first thing we want to talk about. God will hear your prayer. You can take all your troubles to the Lord. Everyone, no matter what it is, whether it's a big deal, a little deal, something great, something terrible, something pleasant, something awful. Take it all to the Lord, and God is there. So that's one thing we want to thank God, because He is a very present help in the time of need. Whatever you're dealing with, He knows about it. He can help you through it. And I love how God took up the human experience Himself when the scripture says, and the Word became flesh and dwelled among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Talking about the first advent of Jesus the Christ, who was eternally with God the Father and became flesh. Back, we would say, 2,020 years ago, the Word became flesh and dwelled among us. See that? So God says, I'm getting right into the human experience. I'm doing everything you've done, coming forth out of a womb, being conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of a virgin, in order to experience everything you and I have been through. Isn't that awesome? Think that through for a minute. Just to come out of eternity and come into the flesh and be manifested to all people in order to go through the entire human experience, from the birth process clear on through to the cross. And so when you think about that, God invested a lot in order to make a great sacrifice to settle the divide between men and Almighty God that He had promised. It was not like it was some secret or something. It was in the Word. God began to promise it right away when sin came into the world. And it was written in eternity. And let's say in the mind of God, the scriptures come out of eternity into our possession. And so it's a wonderful thing to understand what God is saying in His Word. But look at what He did. This is what I want you to look at today as we think about the sacrifices of thanksgiving and praise. Here it is. Almighty God comes out of eternity into the flesh in order to be born and take up the whole human experience and to be misunderstood, to be criticized, to be mocked, to be ridiculed, to be put down, to be spoken evil of, and to be, as Simeon said, a sign to be opposed. He came in order to be opposed and afflicted. So don't realize this, beloved. God is aware of all the kind of stuff you and I deal with, fully aware. And not only is from the perspective of Almighty God being outside of time, but also from within, being a human being, having been confined to humanity for that space of 33 and a half years that Jesus the Son took upon Him the form of a servant. And so He went through it all. And you know what? Jesus was always thankful to God. You see Him in the midst of the gospel narratives giving thanks to God, going somewhere by Himself to pray, separating Himself from all the confusion, the animosity, the lies, all the stuff, the hypocrisy, everything that was going on in the name of God. He was still away somewhere and go separate and pray to God, give thanks to God. And He taught the disciples how to pray. You and I need to start to grasp that at a deeper level. This psalmist understood that. He says that he loves the Lord because He heard my cry. He heard my voice and my supplication. Supplication is a word that means to ask God for the things that you need, to ask Him for the things that you want, to pour out your desires to God, to ask Him to supply what you need. And the scripture even says, my God will supply all your need according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. The psalmist has so many reasons to praise God here, as you see. I love the Lord because He heard my voice. Doesn't mean I got everything I wanted, but I know God knows what I'd like. He knows my desires. He knows what I would need, all my needs. He knows all that. And I'm able to communicate that to Him in prayer. And so because He hath inclined His ear unto me, verse 2 says, therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. This is a person dedicated to praise. He's dedicated to communication with God. It's a person who realizes in everything in my life, I got to consider God in everything. You know, if we do that, if we have that attitude of considering God in everything, it will alter the way we walk. It'll alter the way we think. It'll alter our behaviors and activities and things that we choose to do in life. And so it's a wonderful thing to know that God is there. He's present. He's a very present help in the time of need. And I'm thankful that He is there, as the psalmist is. And so it's a sacrifice of thanksgiving and a sacrifice of praise, because, you know what, if you just go on not thinking about God being in your life, you may make some terrible decisions. Most of us know that. Most of us realize that there may have been a time in our life when we did not consider God and everything. There are even times that we, truth be told, sometimes we slip off into the flesh and we don't think about God at that point, and then we find ourselves in anger and discontentment, bitterness, all kinds of things that are not good. Then we have to come back and ask God for forgiveness. But it's a good thing that He's there. So in all things and in everything, as it says in the old KJV, give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. We should also, at the same time, because of the same reasons we just said, also give praise. You know why? Because God doesn't have to do what He does, but He's great. And He is love. The scripture says God is love. Now, at the same time, you don't ever want to get the idea that God is only love and that He doesn't have wrath and that He does not have judgment. Because those are things you don't hear a lot about in the modern church. You don't hear people, oh, we don't want to talk about that, you know. But the truth is, God is holy and He is righteous. And so we want to be right. We want to teach the whole counsel of God. So there are reasons why, if we haven't received that judgment, we ought to be thankful for that. We ought to be thankful for the fact that He loved us and He's given us time to repent and turn our lives around in the areas that need to be fixed. And we all, if we're being honest, we know got some areas that need to be fixed. Thank God that He is willing to work with me and you and give us time to get ourselves together. He's done that so far, if you can hear my voice. That's why the scripture says today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. Don't let your heart be hard. Receive from God's word and be thankful and give the sacrifice of praise and of thanksgiving. This psalmist goes on to say, the sorrows of death compass me and the pains of hell got hold upon me. There are some things where the enemy will try to attack you and distort the way you perceive your life in the world. Even though God says, if God is with you, He is more than the world against you, and He's more than the devil against you. He's more than the flesh against you. You can trust in Him at all times and in all seasons. Therefore, we should make the sacrifice of thanksgiving and give God praise in everything. Amen. Whatever you're going through, He brought you through it. You're still here. It didn't take you out, and it's making you stronger. That's the real truth. At the bottom of it all, the things that we deal with, the strifes we go through, things that we have to contend with in our day-to-day life actually make us stronger, even if it's not pleasant. In fact, you learn more from the unpleasant stuff than you do from the pleasant stuff when you really dig it through. So there's a lot of reasons why you and I need to give the sacrifice of thanksgiving and praise to God. Looking on here in this Psalms 116, you can dissect this a little bit more after the lesson here today, but I want to give you enough stuff here to hang your thoughts on here. Moving on down here, verse number 7. He says here that he said, "Return unto thy rest, O my soul." Now he's talking to himself now, and this is something that I've had to do. Sometimes your soul gets all messed up, and you find yourself bubbling with problems and confusion, or whatever it is, or anger, or any of those kind of things. You might even find yourself getting into the realm of hatred, where you hate something and it's a terrible thing, and it comes in your mind and starts to pervade your thoughts and your normal processes. Well, he says here that the Lord, he says, "Return unto thy rest." Verse 7, "O my soul." Now he speaks to his own soul. "For the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee." Look how God has done you every time you've had a situation like that. It happens all the time. You get worked up over a thing, and then you find yourself frustrated, or you find yourself confused or angry. And of course, James tells us that the anger of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So we don't ever work the righteousness of God if we're in a situation of anger. So we have to learn to practice. And that today they want to make it a psychological thing, or anger management or something. Like, you can use psychology and you really don't need the Lord. Truth is, call on the Lord. Trust in God. Give Him thanks. Give Him praise in everything you're going through. He will change your heart. He will change your mind, and He will make things right in your spirit. Speak to your own soul and say, "Oh, my soul," like this psalmist says. He speaks to his own soul. Get back to your rest. Go back where you should be. For the Lord has dealt bountifully with thee. He's given you everything, and you got more reasons to bless Him and praise Him than you do to be upset about whatever it is that you're dealing with. And so he goes on to say, for thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. See, that God's kept you up the whole time, no matter what you were dealing with. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. In other words, long as I'm living, I'm trusting in the Lord with all my heart, leaning not to my own understanding, in all my ways acknowledging him so he can direct my steps through this world. And so that's where we got to get. And I don't want to skip Thanksgiving. I think it's a great time, as I'm starting early, to express the fact that we want to offer that sacrifice of Thanksgiving and that sacrifice of praise, because God is truly worthy. Doesn't have anything to do with what's going on in the world and politics and all the different kinds of stuff going on in the world. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. The writer of Proverbs says, chapter 3 and verse 5, lean not to your own understanding. Don't even worry about it if you don't understand it all. But in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. He'll show you how you ought to walk. And that's a beautiful thing. It's great to have that kind of a relationship with the Almighty. So he says, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe. That's the big issue. Do you believe God? Do you trust him? If you do, be like this psalmist. He says, I believe, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. See, you can look around and everybody looks like they're your enemy, working against you. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? What is it that I can render to him for all of his benefits toward me? You know what I have to say? All the bad stuff in my life, like somebody wrote that song, I've had some good days and some hills to climb. I've had some weary days and some lonely nights. But when I look around and think things over, all of my good days outweigh my bad days, and I won't complain. That's that attitude of Thanksgiving. I'm going to say thank you to God, because the good things in my life outweigh the bad things, and I'm going to give you praise even in the midst of my trouble. So the psalmist gives us the essence of that here in this Psalms 116. I love it. It's beautiful. He says here, I believe, therefore I spoke, and I was greatly afflicted. He says, and think of that, he's got trouble. He's not having a smooth life with no problems in it. But some people think money will make your life smooth and you'll have no problems. That's not true. Folks with money are some of the most miserable people on earth in many cases. You see it all the time. People with a lot of money getting into a bad situation and not being content, even though they have everything. So in my haste, I said, all men are liars. Now, look at this. What will I render unto the Lord for all his benefits? So, I mean, what do we have that we can give him? The greatest thing we have is praise, thankfulness, and thank God that he let you go on, let your golden moments roll on a little while longer. And then he goes on to say, I will take the cup of salvation, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. So in other words, we have fellowship with God. Taking up the cup of salvation means we have communion together with God. And I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord. Now and in the presence of all his people, that's fellowship in like the church and that atmosphere. And even this one is hard, and I'm going to go ahead with this. Verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints, even if we're facing death. And I know many people have in the season that we live in. Realize God has even given us authority over death and the grave by the resurrection of his son, Jesus. And he understands the pain of all that. All of that was a part of the human experience that Jesus went through when he came into the world and was crucified on the cross in order to pay the penalty for your sin and mine. So we want you to learn to rejoice in the Lord always. And we're going to look at that in a minute here. And the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, we'll talk about that in the book of Philippians. So what we need to see here is that we live in an ever increasingly less grateful world. So you won't get a good witness from the people around you. The majority of them, many of them, are not grateful. And they're not really necessarily teaching gratitude because their focus is wrong. It's not focused on God and the gospel. So these are, in general, not thankful, especially not to God Almighty. Many people today don't even have God in their factor of understanding or teaching anything or the way they live at all. Who has given his perfect, he has given God himself, who has given us perfect, faultless, his perfect, faultless son, Jesus, to provide all who believe with a way to attain his righteousness. That's important. That's why God has given his son in the midst of the madness down here, so that we can attain his righteousness. That's why Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else you need or worried about will be added unto you. Don't get hung up in that. You know, realize God has given his son to make me and you righteous. And there no one will be righteous without him. That's the next thing you must understand. Now, there's a polluted atmosphere in the world about that, because all kinds of people are telling you ways you can be right with God. And you got others telling you there is no God. But the truth is, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. But whosoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. He said, I am the door. In other words, I am the only way you can come in into the presence of God. And the Bible is clear that there is one mediator between God and me, and the man, Jesus Christ. And so we want to be crystal clear on that, because that is the gospel. And without Jesus, you don't know God. No matter what you think or what you say or what you heard, Jesus is the only one got out of the grave. And so without him, you can do nothing, as he says in John 15. So we want to be very clear. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, John 14, 6. No one will come to the Father except by him. So we want to make that plain, and therefore we should be thankful. Look what God did. Gave his perfect, spotless, sinless, holy Son so that you and I can have a right to the tree of life, even though we don't deserve it. So for that reason alone, we give him thanks. We give him praise. We sacrifice whatever it takes in this world for us to keep that status of thankfulness and praise to God. Very critical, very important. So I want to go on and have you understand that his righteousness is given to you, and he also restores the possibility to possess eternal life in addition to all the provisions of all the resources of the world and even the heavens. God has given all of that to man, for which we should therefore be thankful. Now, people don't mind taking the resources of God. They don't mind the beautiful planet that he's given and all the resources and the different things in it. People get greedy and want to hoard it to themselves, and rather than being thankful and sharing it, you know what, there's plenty of it for everybody. But it doesn't work that way on earth. They're the big I's and the little U's. And so, but God has made everything for the purpose that everybody can enjoy it here. And so he doesn't care about your stature among men, because men will divide up people and all that kind of thing. And you see, that's why we have what we call the haves and the have-nots. But wherever you fall in that paradigm, understand that you should be thankful to God and you should give him praise. And he is in control of many things, all the things we worry about. So the psalmist teaches us that God has provided even the simple, that means folks who don't know a lot or folks who are not high and mighty, the simple, we call them in the Hebrew term from the Old Testament. The psalmist teaches that God has provided even the simple with enough reasons that even with limited amount of knowledge, we don't know everything, or the necessity to be thankful and overwhelmingly grateful to God is enormous, and even down to the problem of death. We should learn to be thankful to God because he has provided everything for us to enjoy. You know what? God has the solution to death. That's why you hear me saying it. You don't hear a lot of folks talking about it, but it needs to be talked about, because people need to know God has fixed the problem of death. And you and I will experience that in a fuller way in the resurrection when the Lord Jesus returns and we are called up to meet him in the air, as it says in 1 Thessalonians 4:16. And, you know, the interesting thing is there he says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain, he goes on to say, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus shall we ever be with the Lord. Then he says, therefore comfort ye one another with these words. We only hear that at funerals most of the time. But you need to know that every day. You need to understand that every day. Death is not a big problem for me and you if we're saved. If you trust in Christ and believe that God has raised him from the dead, the Bible says you shall be saved. You can thank him for that right now. You can rejoice and praise him for that right now. And he will take you through every situation, no matter what it is, tragic, great, beautiful, however it is, doesn't make a difference. So in all things, give thanks. You will not get to this level if you don't pray about it. If you don't let God, the Spirit, minister to you, you will be fearful and tearful like a lot of people in the world. And even sometimes we have nerve to get mad with God. I've heard people tell me, I'm angry with God because of this or that. I'm thinking, okay, let me step back a few feet here. But in either case, I want you to look now quickly. Our time is getting away. That a passage in the book of Philippians in the New Testament, if you'll go with me, if you have my notes, we're going to go to Philippians chapter number 4. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Philippi, says this: rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. See that? Written from the prison. Hello, he's in the prison, locked down. And he said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. What, man, you're locked down? You can't go anywhere. You can't do anything you want. People will bring you food, maybe. And it may not be good. It might be the leftovers from the castle or wherever it was or however it was. You're in the prison, locked down. And he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I want you to make sure I know that you should rejoice in the Lord. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand, the King James says. The word there translated moderation is a word difficult to translate in the Greek. It's the word epiakis, and it means sweet reasonableness. It means that I go beyond the limit to show that I trust God and I believe Him, no matter what the trouble is. I'm going forward to go over the line to let you know that I'm a child of God, no matter what my circumstances are, regardless of that. And you know what? That preaches volumes. It says more to people, the attitude you have in a bad situation says more to people than all the preaching we could ever do. Just the way you, your demeanor, your character, the way you carry yourself in bad situations or in any situation. That's why it says let your moderation in the KJV be known to all men. Why? The Lord is at hand. He said, I'm right there. I'm a very present help in the time of need. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm with you in all your troubles, everything you're going through, all your rejoicing, I'm there with you. Every good thing in your life, I'm there with you. Every decision you have to make, I'm there with you. Every trouble or difficulty or assault by the enemy that you're experiencing, I'm there with you. So rejoice. Give thanks. Give praise. It's a wonderful thing to develop in your spirit, because Paul here, he's admonished the church at Philippi to be thankful. And every time as we pray for anything, just for the privilege to even be heard by the Almighty, and that thanksgiving must be a routine dimension of everyday life of the saved. Everyday life of the saved, thanksgiving, that's how we roll. That's like the song, praise is what I do. No matter what I'm going through, I will always give praise to God, no matter what I'm going through. That's what you got to realize. You know what? If we really check it out, all the good stuff is way more beautiful and content and full than everything else that you have to go through. God takes you through the bad spots so you can really enjoy the good spots. So therefore, eat at all times. I lift my hands. I give Him praise. Amen. And so we want you to think about that as you go into this season. It'll probably help you with a lot of things, a lot of different kinds of issues going on in the world, a lot of consternation and trouble of every stripe. But you and I don't have to worry about these things if you're saved. If you're not saved, you know what I want to do? I want to invite you to trust Christ as your personal Savior. That's why God has configured this world around Jesus. So it will be impossible for you to say you really don't know Him. Check your history book. Check it out. You can check your clock. You can check anything. Jesus is in the middle of your life, whether you know it or accept it or not. But the fact is, He loves you, and that's why He came. He so loved the world, the Bible says, God so loved the world. He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, that means you, whoever you are, whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. You probably know that first. Maybe you've never applied it to yourself. We want you to know God loves you just like you are. And I always say this, He loves you too much to leave you that way. He'll fix you and make you better than you've ever been if you trust Him, if you believe Him. If you put your hand in His hand and just accept the work that He has done. That's the great news about the Christian faith, which is the fact that all and only the Christian faith, because you know what? I don't count on me. I count on Jesus. Jesus did it all. He did everything that you and I need and whoever believes in Him. And only righteousness that satisfies God the Father is the righteousness of Jesus the Christ. So, and that doesn't put me in slow-mo or not trying to be the best man I can be, because I'm trying to do that as well, and I'm learning to do that better. But even if I fail or go through troubles or difficulties or have setbacks, I know that my account is made right by Almighty God, because He made it right. And it's a work that only He can do. The church can't do it. Rituals can't do it. Ceremonies can't do it. Good works can't do it, because, you know, all of them are going to be defective somewhere along the line. And only the perfect work of Jesus Christ can make you right in the sight of Almighty God. And that's why His declaration and proclamation to the whole world that we call the Great Commission is, preach the gospel, that's good news, that God has given Jesus His Son, so that whosoever, that means anybody, and where there's no prejudice in that at all, whosoever believes in Him, that means you, that means me, that means anyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life, which is a relationship with God. I want you to understand that too. We have to explain that many times. Eternal life is not about time. It's about relationship, the quality of your life, your relationship with Almighty God. And it can be made right one way, and that is by trusting in the name of Jesus, His Son, and believing that God has raised Him from the dead. And that's why all this other stuff we talked about here that the psalmist mentioned, that the Apostle Paul could do even from a prison cell, is something you will understand when you trust Christ. You realize that He made you right. It comes from Almighty God as a gift to you, and whoever receives it shall be saved. And so we hope that's you today. And if you are, you already know what I'm talking about. And so we hope this strengthens you to carry you through the season that we're coming up with here. A lot of different kinds of things are out here in the world that are threatening our peace. One thing I hate the most about this whole season of Corona is the fact we can't have close fellowship. We want to hug people and grab them and like we always do, but we have to restrain ourselves. But we rejoice anyway, and God will take us through. And as some of my very favorite people always have said, this too shall pass. And it may not go away, but we'll learn how to handle it. And we'll get back to where we can be a little bit more close and have that kind of fellowship that we love in the church. So we hope that you today have been blessed by this message. I want to thank God for your faithfulness and tuning in, and want to ask you to share this with many others, on whoever's on your page. Go ahead and share it out. We love for them to hear the message also. Catch us again later on our podcast at anchor.fm. It's on our front page on our website at teachingbible.org. You'll find a link there. If you'd like to donate to the ministry, you'll find a link there on the website as well, teachingbible.org. And we're working on a new website. All that will be coming up. I'll make those announcements shortly. But we want to thank God for you today. And we pray that this message of the sacrifices of thanksgiving and praise has blessed you some kind of way. We believe it has, because it blessed me just to talk about it. Amen. So we thank God for that, and we're going to go ahead today. Have some other announcements. Keep an eye on our page, website, and also Facebook for things coming up, and we'll let you know what those are. So let us pray as we close. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we bless your name. We give you praise. Father, we thank you today for everything you have done. Father, we thank you for the good things. We thank you for the bad things. Father, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that you give to everyone who trusts in the name of Jesus and believe that you raised him from the dead. Father, we thank you for saving some people hearing this right now and just now grabbing hold of the message. Father, we pray you bless their lives, protect them, oh God. Father, we thank you in your word that you said you send ministering angels to minister to those who are the heirs of salvation. And Father, we thank you for that coverage, that protection. That's why we can go through trouble, danger, and seen and unseen, and you have still been there to protect us even at our most difficult times, Father. And we just give you praise right now. We give you honor, we give you glory. You said, offer the sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of the lips, giving praise to your name. So, Father, we thank you right now. We give you praise. We pray for every provision, every need to be met, Father. We ask you to touch people who are sick right now. Lift that sickness off of them right now, Lord God. Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory, because you are able to do exceeding and abundantly beyond all we can ask or think. And so, Father, we just give you all the glory and all the praise. Now, to him who is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to the power that works in us, to him be glory and majesty, dominion, and power now and forevermore. And all the saints said, amen. Go ahead and give God a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Amen. We'll see you back here Wednesday, Lord willing. Amen.